Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Right, that's it. I am not waiting around anymore. That's right, I am dedicating this week's episode of Ups and Downs to Oscar. Admittedly, I look like Oscar if a child had her makeup. I don't have a mask, so just using my luchador mask. That can go over there. But you tried to stop me for too long, Nobar. Otherwise, hello, I am Simon from What Culture. Who doesn't enjoy clicking the YouTube video and being yelled at? But we did just have the latest episode of Ups and Downs. No, wait, we had the latest episode of Monday Night Raw. And now it's time for my show, where I take the finger of power, that's right, my friend, and I give the good bits an up and the bad bits a down. As you can probably tell, Oscar had a very good performance around about 12 hours ago. Screwed all of this up. Let's up those downs. So Kevin Patrick was on commentary duties this week, as we were told Jimmy Smith was having a holiday, so I hope he's having a super duper good time. And in our main event, it was going to be Oscar versus Becky Lynch, and we were also going to get Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits taking on Theory and the Alpha Academy. This is when Lashley decided he wanted to come and speak some words into a microphone, so he was doing the opening Raw promo. And look, I don't know what has happened over the last few weeks, but Lashley is so damn over. Everybody went crazy. This made me feel warm and fuzzy in my tum-tum. And if we're being completely honest, he should probably become WWE champion. Given that he is now the US champion, though, he wants to let us know that nobody was going to be able to beat him, no matter what the division or what the promotion. So all of a sudden, people started melting down, going, oh, someone from AEW is going to come to WWE. Look, that is not going to happen. And if that is your want, I would take it and I'd throw it out the window. I mean, there genuinely is a better chance that I would face Bob. And of course, around about this time, he got interrupted by Theory, because he was upset. Well, why aren't I opening Raw? Because I'm the youngest Money in the Bank holder in history. He then compared himself to Michael Jordan and Tom Brady. One problem there, my friend. They have two names, like Michael Jordan, Tom Brady. If they were just called Jordan and Brady, I don't think they would have been that successful. It then did get super interesting, because one, we learned that it is going to be Theory versus Bobby Lashley at SummerSlam, so it's the big rematch, if you can call it big. And two, Theory continued on this tease that after he has won that title back, he's going to cash in on either Brock Lesnar or Roman Reigns. So there is a chance that we leave the hottest event of the summer, sweating, obviously, and Theory is a double champ. And I tell you, while I think the odds are long, I can see it. Lashley then told Theory he'd be lucky to make it to SummerSlam, so that's a death threat. And even though Theory took the briefcase and just started slamming Bob, eventually he was like, man, this is quite annoying. So he just beat him up. So this was the start to every single Raw you've ever seen, but I just love Bobby Lashley right now. So nice to see somebody get their due. Get it up. Quick interview with Ray and Dominic after this, where Dominic said, there is nobody I would rather learn from than my father. And I was like, well, that's a stupid thing to say. What if you went to sit down a lesson and somebody was going to teach you atomic physics? Do you want Rey Mysterio walking in? No, he's just going to go, let's do a Hurricane Rana. You're like, damn it, Dad, stop. Anywho, they then reminded us that they were about to have a match in their hometown. And you know what that means? They were going to be beating up for a bit. And that did start straight away, because during the Judgment Day's entrance, Finn Balor and Damian Priest just transported into the ring. They were just killing these fools. Although we then cut to a commercial break, and when we came back, magically, Father and Stan were on top. So as you do know, when that happens, I like to fill in the blanks. So I'm going to say that Finn and Damer were ready to finish the job when they looked out to the crowd and they saw a sign that said, "Somebody please make Dark Chronicle 2. So they were like, "Oh my gosh, we love that game." And then when they turned back around, the Mysterios attacked them. Although technically, I suppose, it would be Dark Cloud 3. It doesn't matter, just somebody make it happen. Priest then murdered Dom by avoiding 619 and just hurling him into Barry Barricade. So he was dead. This actually ended because Finn Balor got a bit crazy and he went for a steel chair. However, while given that we were in the Mysterios' hometown, they probably could have just won clean. I actually preferred this because Finn had the chair. Rey Mysterio did the Eddie, "Oh, I've fallen down" to the mat. The ref saw this and went, "Balor, how dare you hit somebody with an illegal weapon?" He called for the TQ. And while this was absolute shenanigans, it was pretty damn fun. I mean, that has been going on for over 20 years now and it's still an absolute joy. This was kind of one of those matches where neither team should have lost because they're kind of aimless right now. And yes, we continue to tease that maybe Dominic Mysterio will turn on his dad and they'll have a match at SummerSlam. Do I want to see that? Not really. Is it going to happen? Probably. This is all right. The Miz was being interviewed after this, and even though I did say this on SmackDown Ups and Downs or Money in the Bank, whatever the hell it was, I will say it again as we have reached a Raw. I was a massive idiot last week. I jumped the gun. Because I believe The Miz, when he came to the ring and said, "Oh no, actually, me and Logan Paul will be teaming up again," but as we underlined here, they are definitely not, and they are too going to have a match at SummerSlam. And yes, Logan Paul is going to be the face. That ain't going to work. Megan Moran then dealt with The Miz because she was like, "Didn't you just walk out with your match against AJ Styles last week?" And of course, this then descended into an argument about The Miz's testicles. Because as we said once, and as we'll say 1,000 times, a few weeks ago, somebody wrote this and went, "Ha, ha, ha, balls are funny." So now we have to make constant jokes about The Miz's groin. Stop it. So this was only a short segment, and I have no opinion at the moment, because I want to see what we're going to do over the next few weeks, because surely nobody in the back can actually think that Logan Paul is going to get cheered, unless it's done ironically. So mark my words, The Miz is about to become a super duper good guy. We then just had the most bizarre segment, which was a Street Profits 4th of July party. And this was going to take place throughout the evening. And every single one was more goofy than the rest, especially here, because Angelo Dawkins and Otis decided to have a hot dog eating contest. Honestly, I lit up like a light. It was the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. I was like, "Oh my gosh, I love this goofiness so much." And then we cut to the Mysterios who were backstage, and the Judgment Day beat them up. Because of course they did. And then AJ Styles finally beat The Miz. Okay. I mean, he basically just whooped The Miz for 5 minutes before he hit him with the phenomenal forearm, and he got the 1-2-3. But I think the only reason we did this is so we could have the post-match angle and once again start to set up SummerSlam. Because for weeks, Miz and Ciampa have kind of been acting like they're in cahoots, but not really. So here, Ciampa jumped AJ Styles, The Miz joined in and gave him the skull-crushing finale, and then Ciampa and The Miz shook hands as Byron Saxton on commentary acted like this was the most shocking thing he'd ever seen. And that's when it hit me like a big fist. I was like, "Oh, that's what we're going to do. It's going to be AJ Styles and Logan Paul taking on The Miz and Ciampa." And I tell you the reason I like this, because it means both AJ and Ciampa would be in an awesome spot at that premium live event. So now I'm quite excited, even though once again, in terms of heels and baby faces, it's going to be an absolute disaster. Also, bring it down because that was a clean finish, even though there was aftermath. So that's now 10. As you can see, we have finally done a counter that is not working at all. Or WWE saw that we would do clean finishes and they've increased them. I tell you, in terms of this Raw, most of the matches actually ended clean. And then Liv Morgan was here too. It was just nice. But there are some people out there who act like when wrestlers come out and they're really happy, that's a bad thing. But are you kidding me? The greatest thing about this segment is that every single thing Liv Morgan said was so obviously true to how she felt. So by the end of it, I was like, "Damn it, Liv, you go win it all." She also made sure the chant was, "We deserve it," because she wants to include the fans, which is the opposite of everyone that's ever turned heel. And she even said, "I'm not the SmackDown Women's Champion. We are the SmackDown Women's Champion. So I'm the SmackDown Women's Champion. You're the SmackDown Women's Champion. And you better go call your great army Joan and tell her, ah, Joanie, you now the SmackDown Women's Champion." Eventually, Natalya interrupted because of course she did. And she had a great point. She was like, "The only reason you won is because I wounded Ronda Rousey's leg. so now I deserve a title shot. Now, that latter part was absolute nonsense, but this was accurate. She had weakened up Ronda. Carmella then did the same, and I was like, man, surely you can't ask for a championship match, because you don't deserve it. But actually, she was just out there to say, you should go back to SmackDown. Then Carmella and Natalya beat Liv Morgan up. Bianca Belair made the save, just so WWE could do their favourite thing in the world, Halabaji, made a tag team. I mean, WWE loves doing that more than I love pizza, but once again, this was just nice. And that's a stupid word, but it's true, because you could tell that Bianca Belair, the Raw Women's Champion, and Liv Morgan, the SmackDown Women's Champion, along with you, me, and everybody else, are just such good bodies, and they were having such a wonderful time, and all that energy came out, hit me in the face, and wouldn't you know it, I was having a good time too. There's also this amazing bit where Morgan was in trouble, so Bianca took her hair and threw it out like she was a rope, and Liv used it to drag herself to the corner. I was like, in no way can that be legal. And if it is, next time I do a wrestling match, I am going to shine my bald head really nice, and I'm going to find a light, and I'm going to shine it into somebody's head, blind them, before I hit the most devastating move in all of sports entertainment, and get the win. It didn't really work, because Carmella soon cut this off, and honestly, she was obsessed with the ring post, because at any opportunity, she grabbed Belair, and she threw her into Rhea ring post. We did keep this nice and simple though, because after Natty had gone from the sharpshooter, Liv Morgan got out of it, she hit the oblivion, 1, 2, 3, and once again ended with Bianca and Liv just celebrating. It's just made me feel good. And isn't that why we watch an entertainment program? You want to go away with a pep in your step? I had my pep up. And yes, that's another clean finish too. That's 11.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
We were then back to this party where Mustafa Ali and Cedric Alexander stole Veer's food, so clearly they weren't listening to him when he said, "Fear Veer and don't steal my grub." And MVP was here as well, saying, "Oh man, it doesn't matter that Omos lost the money in the bank because he's really big." This soon turned into 24/7 nonsense because of course it did, so Omos grabbed Reggie and threw him out of the party. But the big twist, I suppose, is that Ezekiel was here, he wanted to eat hot dog, and he has no aim. Honestly, I was dying. He has no aim. If you have a hot dog, here's my hot dog, right? Here's my ketchup. There's the end of the ketchup. You go like this. For some reason, Ezekiel had it up like there and went flop, just so it could hit Seth Rollins, who was wearing a white suit, so Seth Rollins could get really mad. So Ezekiel, you need to go and see a doctor. Nobody in the history of the world has ever put ketchup on by pointing it up in the sky. And incredibly, yes, this led to Seth Rollins versus Ezekiel. What is going on? We also got that weird video beforehand that we had seen at Money in the Bank, and as I already said, it is not Bray Wyatt, and I'm pretty sure it's Edge, although if I am wrong, wahey woohoo, that will be excellent. And because obviously Zeke was gonna lose here, I tell ya, he really beat Seth Rollins' ass. I mean, he threw him into Timmy the Timekeeper's table, he hit a sit-out powerbomb, he hit a bunch of stinger splashes, and while at no point did I think he was going to be victorious, they tried. And you've got to figure that this is happening because Kevin Owens is injured, so let's take all our health love and send it his way, and I hope he is back soon. And after Zeke had gone for the most devastating move in all of sports entertainment and Seth Rollins had kicked out, he hit the curb stomp
1, 2, 3.
We also use this to further everything between Riddle and Seth Rollins, because just as Seth was about to go for another one, Riddle burst out of nowhere. He gave him the RKO. That got a mega pop. You have to imagine it's going to be these two at SummerSlam, which would be a terrific match. All of this was entertaining.
Up.
And yeah, that's another clean finish too. So bring it down. And it rolls up to 12. This is a very sobering moment for me. It was then back to the damn 4th of July party, and I'm just going to be honest with you, and I know you're going to get mad, but I love goofy wrestling. You know this. I know this. All of it just had me laughing the entire time. But go get mad in the comments, because I'm giving it up. This time it was the hot dog contest eating part of the whole thing. And even though at first it looked like Otis had won, and we even had a graphic saying, well, Otis, you done it, from nowhere, the announcer went, oh no, actually, the winner is Tozawa, who had eaten double what everybody else had eaten, and we cut to him, and he just had the look on his face. And I was like, can we just make Raw this? Just weird, ridiculous, ludicrous, and very, very strange. Amazingly too, it was also the build-up for Theory and the Alpha Academy taking on Lashley and the Street Profits. Hell yeah, I think wrestling has peaked up. I mean, this was just every single six-man tag you've ever seen, but they did everything you could have wanted. There was this cool double suplex. Angelo Dawkins did his dive. Eventually, Bobby Lashley got the hot tag and went crazy. And of course, we got the tag klaxon. After that, too, Theory tried to leg it because he wanted nothing to do with Bob, so Dawkins just pounced him right over Al and the announce table. And then the goofiness came back because even though Otis was in control, he started to go, oh no, my stomach, because he'd eaten too much hot dogs and he felt sick. I mean, what is he, 11? But what better way to capitalize on that than by targeting the abdomen area? So Bobby Lashley hit him with a spear and Montez Ford hit him with a frog splash, and that was it. He was done. Chad Gable was in instead, because of course he always has to take the pin. Lashley gave him another spear, 1, 2, 3. And yes, after the fact, Otis didn't just throw up everywhere, but we had to see a replay. I mean, it's bad. It is objectively terrible. But I love this stuff, because I love the idea that somebody pitched it in the back, somebody else greenlit it, and then it damn well made it onto TV. And yes, counter 13, I have totally boned myself, as we've already talked about. But this is what life is all about. Make sure you take risks so you never regret it. Becky Lynch was a big reason why I enjoyed that last match too, because we then cut to a backstage interview with her. She was like, oh man, I don't care that Otis has got a funny tummy. I'm the star here and nobody taking my spotlight. She also blames Asuka for all her troubles, so later on she's going to end her, which is a perfectly normal thing to say. The sheer madness that is WWE continued after this too though. I mean, you could never predict it. Because out came R-Truth in all his 4th of July paraphernalia, whatever you want to call it, and said, do you know what I want to celebrate while I'm in this ring? The 1996 Independence Day, when Will Smith saved us from aliens. So, let's not even pretend otherwise, giving it up. This is more to do with the fact that you knew somebody was going to come to the ring and absolutely destroy him, and it was Ludwig and Gunther, and I tell you, bless R-Truth, because he is a man of many traits. But we had this match, and Gunther squashed him like a bug. It was over in about 57 seconds. He hit the powerbomb, and he got the win. And I tell you, we are doing such a good job with Gunther. And if you all of a sudden want to have him challenge for the WWE title, I think he should win. He is just so damn believable, even when you do a flubble segment like this. Also, yes, yes, clean, bring it down, 14 ship. I do have to admit that there was a very set structure for Raw this week. Like, I know they do it all the time, but this one just felt a little bit too in your face, because it really was match, interview, match, interview, match, interview. Hence why we went and had another interview. This time it was Alexa Bliss who said while she has no friends in WWE, she's happy for Liv Morgan. But that victory had reminded her, well, I haven't held anything in the company apart from Lily for a while, so maybe I should change that. And I was like, you are a liar, Alexa Bliss. Only like a year or so ago, maybe 2 years, you were drinking a lot of coffee, so you were holding that mug. This led to her deciding that she was going to go after Bianca Belair's championship when Oscar hopped in and said, no, you're not, because I'm going to beat Becky Lynch and I'm going to do it. And honestly, that's probably going to be the feud now, isn't it? Because that's just what WWE does. They also did that thing when Becky Lynch then came to the ring, but her match didn't start for 10 minutes because you just have to have so many recap videos and so many vignettes focusing on other things. And honestly, we really need to take this and push it out the door because me as a fan, I get a little bit bored. Otherwise, though, it was Becky taking an Oscar, not only in the main event for like the 4th time in a month or whatever it's been, but it was no holds barred. And these two are terrific together. They have such good chemistry. Then it's getting it up. And they had a bunch of chairs, some tables, and a trash can almost instantly, with Oscar drop-kicking a chair into Becky's face and then giving her a bulldog on the steel, before Becky retaliated by throwing the Empress of Tomorrow into every single chair you've ever seen in your life. You know what Oscar did? She got up, she dusted herself off, she propped Becky against Barry Barricade, and she hip-attacked her foot. There was then more suplexes onto the chairs, Oscar trapping Becky in a trash can and kicking the shit out of it. And we did that awesome miss spot again, because Oscar was going to spit it into Lynch's face, but she had Oscar's umbrella, so at the last minute she put it up to protect herself. Honestly, you could do that every single night and I would pop every time. They were finally tussling on the top as it looked like Oscar was about to hit something, but instead Becky Lynch was able to reverse it, gave her a manhandle slam from the top rope through a table. She got the 1-2-3, and I would imagine we did do this because she's going to be taking on Bianca Belair at SummerSlam, which the commentators alluded to because they were like, oh, can you believe it? The man is over her slump. It was a really good main event though, and I implore you to go and watch it. And while these two aren't going to fight for a while, if we ever can come back round to it, we should. And I've decided that I am not going to give this a clean counter finish mark, because it was clean given the stipulation of the rules, but somebody also smashed through a table. Now, you're allowed to debate this one. And am I pulling at straws? Absolutely. But you've seen what's happened today. I need to defend my counter. Which brings us to the end of a very interesting Raw, because as you can see, there's a bunch of ups, but there's not any downs. Now, does this mean it was the best Raw ever? No, it does not. And it was kind of dull for a lot of it. But when you take it segment by segment by segment, if you like goofy wrestling such as I do, it was all fine, so never forget that. That's just what happens every now and then. I mean, can WWE do better? Of course they can. I can't lie, I had a pretty good time. Up.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.